We're going to start back up, and we have here one of our favorite, making their umpteenth reappearance, a dynamic duo to give us a Texas Supreme Court update. We've got Justice Jeff Boyd, who was first appointed to the court in 2012, has since been reelected twice, and before, right when he got to law school, he was a law clerk to Judge Tom Reveley. Worked in private practice for some time, and then has had a time in public service working for as an AG and for the governor before joining the court. And we've also got Kurt Kuhn, who practices law here in Austin with Kuhn Hobbs. He's board certified in civil appellate law, has won every different award and super lawyer and all of that, and his among his claims to fame is winning the Golden Whistle Award for coaching youth sports with the West Austin Youth Association, and they're going to give us the Supreme Court update.
All right, so it's we haven't earned it yet. I don't know. So it's that time of year again, and it's when the court is at its most productive part of the term, and everybody wants to ask the same question. Everybody wants to know, what is the most important case from the Texas Supreme Court's term? And everybody in this room, I look around, I see a lot of really experienced practitioners, and we all know the answer to this, and it's the same answer for all of us, and the answer is it's my case. That's the most important case. But what we're trying to do is talk about some of the top cases that you should know about as an appellate practitioner. It doesn't necessarily mean these are the most important cases to the jurisprudence of the state, maybe not, but they're cases for one reason or another that you as an appellate lawyer would want to know about. I've pulled a baker's dozen. Some of them I'll give you a hot take on, and some of them are worth more attention. So let's start with limitations. Our first case is Ferrer. Justice Boyd, what can you tell us about that case?
All right. Well, thanks. Well, good morning, and I'm always happy to be with this group. I always have to start with these reminders first. Believe me, when I tell you I am not speaking today for the court, as Don Cruz pointed out, I rarely ever speak for the court, and I'm certainly not doing so today.
I did want to note that once you started speaking, all the other justices have left the room.
I noticed that, yeah. I get about 2 minutes to lay out the basics of each of these cases, and so thank you for being lenient about any errors I make. Third, I want to make sure you know I didn't pick these cases. So the fact that we're talking about it doesn't reflect anything in my or the court's view about their importance. This is all Kurt's fault that these are the cases that were picked. And then last, let me mention, this is important. Some of these have pending motions for rehearing right now. I'm going to try to provide highlights for each case, and anything I don't highlight doesn't reflect that I don't think that's important to the case. Nothing I say is going to reflect on what I or my colleagues think about the merits on rehearing. Okay, please, thank you. I have gotten comments on that before. You know there was a rehearing motion pending, and we study those on their merits. Okay, Ferrer.
We just don't care.
Yeah, no, we care. So Sybil Ferrer sued, and this is important, she sued Madalena Almanza for negligence from an auto accident that occurred 23 months before she filed the suit. So when she filed the suit, there was about a month left in the limitations period. But a couple months after limitations ran, Sybil discovered that it wasn't Madalena who was driving the car. It was her sister, Isabella, who was driving the car that hit her. And so she amended her petition to name Isabella as the defendant instead of Madalena. But that was 3 months after limitations had run. But about a year after the accident and before the limitations ran, Isabella, the actual driver, started college at Harvard University, which we are assured is not in Texas. And she lived there during the semesters, exactly 225 days during the limitations period, although she maintained her residence in Texas, received her mailing address in Texas and came home during all the breaks. So Isabella, of course, argued limitations, but Sybil argued that limitations was told by Civil Practice and Remedies Code Section 16.063, which says that during the, quote, absence from this state of a person against whom a cause of action may be maintained, the limitations is told.